Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are broadcasting live from River Edge, New Jersey, a wonderful home, a wonderful town with Wyatt and Wispa, and Lexi and I are hanging out here, and we are enjoying the beautiful day we had. It was a little chilly, but it was real sunny and just a lovely day. Well, we're hoping that you have gotten what you wanted for Christmas, and hopefully if that did include something that has a heart and fur and two or four legs, hopefully, or it has feathers and two legs, we hope that you're going to be keeping that animal with you, keeping it safe and keeping it well fed and seen by a veterinarian and taken care of like it should be. It's great to see people who go out there at Christmas time and go rescue a dog. It truly is. Just make sure you're not one of those people who ends up finding out in a couple of months that, I know why this dog was given up. It's because it's people aggressive or dog aggressive. Well, we're going to talk about that today. How long does it take after you get any dog? Well, you know, behavioral issues happen because behavioral issues are there probably latently, and we don't really know how to fix them, so we do nothing or we do the wrong thing. So what happens is instead of the dog being a healthy, happy dog, the dog ends up having minor behavioral issues, and this can be anything, ranging from growling over a bone or a toy, all the way up to actually biting somebody. It could even be just a dog who's urinating in the house. I've seen especially the little dogs jump up on the husband's side of the bed and actually urinate on the husband's pillow. Now, granted, if you're in the middle of a nasty divorce, you might want your dog to urinate on your husband or ex-husband's pillow, but chances are if you like him, you're not going to want that to happen. So, why do things not come out immediately? Why is it you can take that dog home that was supposed to be good with dogs, good with kids, good with other animals? And why isn't it good with animals or kids or dogs now? Well, a lot of that happens the same reason as it happens with humans. Think for a minute. Think about when you were dating, whether it was your husband or it was somebody else. You were dating and you were on your best behavior. We know you are on your best behavior. So instead, what happens is you're on your best behavior for 2 or 3 months, and now you got the guy or you've got the girl, and now you start doing the things that you wouldn't have done at the beginning because you were trying to impress him or her. Well, so what happens? Well, with humans, well, maybe the girls stop putting makeup on, and maybe they start eating more expensive food when you go out, and maybe the guys don't open the door for the girl anymore, and maybe the guys, you know, don't spend as much time now because they're familiar and they feel that they're owed something. They feel a sense of that they are due something and owed, and that, hey, you should be doing this because we're together. Well, same thing happens with dogs, crazy as it sounds. So what happens is you have a dog who is in a shelter or in a rescue or with a foster, and instead of the dog having all the exact things and the things that are good for it, being, in the shelter or rescue environment where there might be other dogs who are a little more dominant than it, or the people there are much more experienced. Sometimes that isn't true, but a lot of times it is, where you have some very experienced dog people. So what can happen is something called the honeymoon period. Again, it's the same reason that we have dogs with behavioral issues. We have people getting in and out of relationships. So let's just say for a minute, you bring this dog home. The dog is in perfect health. The dog is a wonderful, healthy, happy dog. And the dog seems to be very well behaved. The dog seems to be, good with other animals or with children. But then all of a sudden, you start noticing, about 2 months almost to the day, after you get this dog. So now Christmas dogs are after Valentine's Day. You start noticing, you know, my dog is kind of changing. He was so perfect. He loved my kids. Now he's growling at them over a bone. My dog was great with other dogs. Now he's going after the dogs down the street. My dog didn't chase the cat. Why is he chasing the cat now? Well, that happens because the honeymoon period with a dog is the period of time that the dog is basically waiting for you, the owner, to step up to the plate and to say, basically in dog language, hey, buddy, I got your back. So don't worry about it because I am going to take care of you. Well, guess what? If somebody doesn't take over and somebody doesn't take control of the situation, a dog might decide, I love these people. This is a great place. I'm going to take over. And part of that responsibility of taking over is for dogs to be able to go to a different level of understanding and a different idea or conception of where they stand in the human dog, cat dog, hamster dog, other dogs, kitchen dogs, nephew's dog, whatever relationship. So if you have a dog that you are allowing to, get away with things, bad behaviors, it doesn't mean that you're ruining the dog, but it could mean that you're allowing the dog or making the dog actually think that you are below it or that other members of your family are below it. Now, if the dog thinks that it is in charge, typically, it is going to feel that it has to provide for you and protect you. And if it feels that it has to provide for you or protect you, there's a good chance that the dog is going to start taking over the role of leader. Now, if you really want to understand this, and I know I've got thousands of people because I've got hundreds of people who've already contacted me about my new book and wanted me to give out the link for it. If you think, though, if somebody isn't in charge of an emergency room at a hospital, somebody's got to take over. So if a doctor, if the ER doctor isn't taking over, maybe a nurse will take over. And if a nurse doesn't take over, you've got chaos. So you've got basically the same thing going on with dogs. If you don't show the dog, and it's not in a mean way, we're not advocating for you to harm a dog ever or to use shock collars or choker chains or prong collars or all these crazy citronella sprayed in the face and fire extinguishers sprayed at dogs. Yes, I was a guy in upstate New York who actually, you can imagine what an idiot he is, to use fire extinguishers and squirting them at dogs. I don't even get that one. But all these crazy things that people come up with, that isn't what dogs do. And that's why these things don't work and they just exacerbate or worsen the situation. So we're going to talk today about what you can do to prevent your dog from gaining these behavioral issues that we don't want him to have, and also how to prevent them from worsening as well as actually fixing them. So the name of my book is called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, all capital letters, Happens. Yes, it's a play on words, and I came up with this idea about 10 years ago or 9 years ago when I thought, gee, this is just a really cute way of making sure that people understand that shh happens. So we want to make sure that everyone is allowed and able to get a copy of this book that's only priced at $10. It's less than $10. You can get it on Amazon. Look up my name. It's Shh Happens, Janice Wolf, and you'll see a picture of Wyatt right on the cover. We're going to talk about the book, and we're going to talk about how that book can help you in just a moment, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt and Wisp and Lexi. So we're talking about how you can help to make sure that your dog does not end up with behavioral issues after you've adopted or rescued or purchased a dog for a Christmas or any other type of present. Remembering that the most commonly held time limit on a honeymoon period is about 2 months. So what happens is the dog is waiting very patiently for somebody to take over. It doesn't matter if the dog is 10 weeks old or 5 months old or a year old or 5 years old or 10 years old. That typically is what happens. It takes a certain amount of time for the dog to be rehabilitated and for the dog to be thinking like a dog and saying, hey, there's nobody here taking care of things. I better take care of things, because if I don't take care of them, chances are that nobody else is taking care of them. So we want to make sure that we are very, very consistent. That doesn't mean you're going to be sitting throwing a box of cookies every day for 40 minutes to make sure your dog sits, because I've never had anybody tell me that they were returning a dog to a shelter or rescue because the dog didn't sit on command. However, why do dogs get returned? Well, nice little things like, oh, it bit the child, or it's attacking the cat, or it's going after other dogs, or it bit the owner, or it's peeing all over, or it's super destructive, or it's got separation anxiety, and other issues like that. Now, what happens is once you take a dog and you remove it from its situation, it's going to take a minimum of 2 weeks to start becoming comfortable. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a super dominant dog you adopted, like one of the bully breeds typically, or mastiffs sometimes, not English, but the French and Italian mastiffs, sometimes because they're more dominant, they might have a problem more readily and kind of quicker than they would have had otherwise. So, but typically, it's somewhere around 2 weeks, the dog starts realizing, huh, okay, I guess this is probably going to be what it is. Now, the problem, going back to that, is if you have a dog in a board and train facility, they only keep them for 2 weeks, and some crazy people are charging as much as $1,800. I've seen them at $2,800. I mean, can you imagine $5,600? You could go to, for goodness sakes, you could go to Israel. You could go to Japan for 2 weeks by yourself or with half of your family, or you can send your dog to some crazy person who's going to use a shock collar and a prong collar and a choker chain and squirt things and throw things at your dog. If you want to fix your dog's behavior, unless it is an extremely severe case, you need to do that in your home. You cannot expect that if you are trying to take care of a dog and you are, going to send somebody else the problem, that they're going to be able to fix the problem. Because even if they do use a shock collar and even if they do remove that problem temporarily, if the humans aren't trained what to do and if the humans don't change, then the dog won't change. The dog will go right back to doing the same behaviors, sometimes worse, sometimes a little less, but they will go back to doing the same behaviors, because if you don't change the humans, then you aren't going to change the dog. So that's one of the great things about my new book. Like I said, it's very affordable. It's $9.99. You can go on Amazon.com and you can actually buy a copy of it. It is copywritten. It is trademarked. But, you know, the information in there is my information. That's great stuff that you can use. And I want you to buy a copy of the book, and I want you to tell people what you learned. When you have a friend or you work with a rescue or shelter, tell them about the book. It's not expensive. It's not a big deal for money. That's why I didn't make it $20 or $30. We made it very affordable so that people can access it. Because what's in this book, between the genetics and understanding what to do and why to do it, and understanding all the different aspects of what is so important to a dog, for a dog, to be understood by a dog, it's just even more important that that information gets out there. So if you buy a copy of the book and you want one of your friends to read it, that's okay. I don't mind. I mean, maybe my, you know, publisher might not be happy, but you know what? I don't care, because I want the information out there. Because my goal in life is that I can say in 5 years and 10 years, not that I've rehabilitated 25 or 26,000 dogs with behavioral issues, because I've done thousands on thousands on thousands of dogs that I've rehabilitated and that are not dead or in a shelter or given up because of behavioral issues. And I've rehabilitated tens of thousands of them. Well, I have United Canine Professionals, which is you know, our behavior company, and it is my techniques, and that's why I wrote the book. So you can use it. You have the person who's creating things telling you, please use it, because I want you to go out there, and I want you to educate people as to what they should be doing with their dog, and if they need to pick up their own copy, okay, it's $10, and Amazon gets part of it, and Merlin's Kids gets the other part. It goes to charity. But the key is understanding why things happen. Why did the dogs do that? Why did the things happen that happened? Well, you'll understand more of why things happen once you understand what the dog thinks and how the dog thinks. So I have a lot of things about different experiments. I have actually in the appendix, I have one of my reports from Columbia University from my animal behavior when I was probably about 17 years old. And I was studying animal behavior early on. And, you know, it's really kind of cool. I put one of the papers in there that has, yes, it has a lot of detailed, crazy stuff in it that might be hard for you to understand, but you'll see that it's very simple. It's that animals have certain behaviors because of instinct, nature versus nurture, and sometimes it's genetics that predispose a dog or a human to either having a positive or a negative life and energy. Because if the dog has a potential issue with, let's say, you know, being aggressive, like I have a couple of clients right now that have dogs that have those issues, sometimes what happens is the fact that the dog is genetically predisposed to it. And if the dog is genetically predisposed to it, then, you know, yes, it can be a little trickier to handle, but it doesn't matter. We're still going to help the dog. Doesn't matter what we are going to think, we're going to help that dog because we want to help as many dogs as we possibly can. And if we don't help the dogs because we don't have the knowledge, and that's pretty sad. So the book is called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, with a little exclamation point. And it has a big picture of Wyatt on it, so you can't miss it. But that is going to help you, especially if somebody recently got a dog, if they acquired one, either it was a gift or they purchased. That's a great, quick little stocking stuffer, even though it's after Christmas, for those people who said, oops, I forgot to buy somebody a present. You can always lie and say, yeah, well, I didn't get the confirmation back in time. But the book is wonderful, and I'm going to go through in the next three segments today a little bit about each chapter and what things are covered in each chapter. So, again, realizing that dogs do what dogs do because they are dogs, and understanding that some dogs might do things that don't seem logical to us as humans, but they really do make sense to the dog, and they definitely make sense to somebody who is a behavioral expert like myself or like our amazing people at United Canine Professionals. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about making sure that people can understand why these dogs are doing these behaviors, because if you understand why, then you can fix it. It's going to be very hard to fix something if you don't understand why it happened in the first place. So we will be right back in just a moment, and we hope you'll stay tuned and learn a lot more. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're talking about the new book, Shh Happens, and yes, it's a play on words, and I'm using this in mixed company because it is pretty funny if you think about it. The shh represents a growl. What do dogs do in nature? Do dogs run around and talk to each other? Do dogs run around and start kind of complaining, going, hey, man, that's not fair. Like, you got 2 cookies and I only got 1 cookie. Now, they're dogs, and dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs, not because they're humans. They are dogs, and dogs are pretty incredible creatures, but they are dogs, and they think a certain way. And like I always joke, which is half a joke, and I say, heck, men and women are almost the same species. I mean, we're not quite, but we're almost. We can't even understand each other. So imagine if I were speaking in another language other than your native language. And imagine then I get mad at you that you don't understand what I'm saying. Well, I call it Dogenese. Dogenese, and the reason I trademarked that is one of my wonderful little Japanese friends, when I was tutoring and teaching for 30 years, teaching the SAT to gifted and talented kids, and working with the Asian population, Japanese, Chinese, and Korean, on and learning how to take a standardized test like the SAT and ACT, the one little girl used to always say that I spoke, and she had a cute little way of saying it, but that I spoke animalese. I spoke like the language of the animals. And so I kind of took that, and I said, that's really cute. I said, kind of like Dogenese and Horsenese and Catanese, and she laughed. And so I've been thinking about that for a very long time, that, you know, it's so important if you don't understand a language, even with another human, that, you know, you can't communicate effectively. You don't understand what that other person or that animal is saying. So, obviously, how do you expect to have any kind of a communication or connection with dog or anything, for that matter, if you don't understand its language. That's crazy to think that we could understand somebody who we don't even speak the same language as. That's where body language and bumps and blocks and growls and nips are the dog language. There's a language that dogs communicate in. So the shh actually represents, like, my midnight kitty. In 20-some-odd years ago, I had a great little cat. He used to be like our little black lab cat. And my little Ridgeback puppies were playing with him. And I guess, you know, the puppies were considerably larger than the cat at this point. We probably had 8 or 9 of them in the one litter. And so Midnight Kitty went up and was playing with the puppies. And one of the puppies must have gotten a little bit too rough. So Midnight Kitty kind of stood up on his back legs a little bit and swatted the puppy and went, yish, and hissed at the puppy and belted him with his foot. Well, it wasn't just that one puppy, but every puppy in that litter, wide-eyed, staring at Midnight Kitty like, yes, sir, sorry, sir, I'm not going to do that again, sir, please forgive me, sir. Because Midnight Kitty had that energy that cats have. Now, Midnight was an awesome cat. I really loved him. But, you know, the goal is here for us to have that Midnight Kitty energy. So the shh sound actually represents the same thing as we do with horses, where we make an ah sound because it sounds kind of like a sound that another animal would make to correct the horse. The key is that we want to communicate with the dog in his own language so he understands. Don't get mad at your dog for not speaking English. He doesn't get mad at you for not speaking Dogonese, does he? Well, heck no. So what we want to do is understand why. Now, yes, sometimes it is genetics, and I have this in my book quite a bit because to me, and I'm sure those people who are puppy mill breeders who are breeding mixed breed dogs and say that they're not, you know, you call yourselves breeders. No, you're not breeders. You're a puppy mill, because the only breeders that should be allowed, in my humble opinion, to be breeding dogs are the ones who are breeding for temperament, for beauty, for confirmation, for longevity, for good health, and for all the good things. You don't breed just to get a pretty dog, and you don't breed just to get a fluffy dog, because what happens is when you start in with single-trait breeding, which I rant and rail against in my book, is you wind up with other issues you didn't expect, like behavioral issues, like physical issues, like temperament issues, like health issues, like dysfunctional issues, like different things that are caused by almost like birth defects. And all of these other issues happen because people are breeding to make a little dog smaller, or a fluffy dog fluffier, or a dog with big eyes having bigger eyes, instead of breeding to better the breed. And now, instead of breeding, like what I do, to breed to make more beautiful, better temperament, altogether longer living, nice to look at, great conformation, gorgeous movement, good hips, good elbows, thyroid, you know, all the eyes, the heart. I want dogs that can go out there and can be best of the best at everything, not just at one thing. I don't care if the dog is a quarter of an inch smaller or larger than I was hoping it to be. If that dog is 27 and a half inches tall, and he's supposed to be 27, but he's absolutely a perfect specimen, and he's beautiful and has everything in the right place and lives to 15 years of age and has a gorgeous, you know, beautiful way about him, and he's great with kids and he's great with animals and all. I am a successful breeder. But, you know, I always look at it as, think about where the parents of your dog or your puppy came from. So when you go and you get a little mixed breed dog, it's not that I'm angry at anybody for doing that. They're cute. But the problem is that the people who are breeding them are not like me and are not like good, legitimate hobby breeders or legitimate breeders who have their dogs in their homes and actually care about them and actually care that they don't want the dogs to go to somebody who's going to be keeping the dog in a kennel or in a crate all the time. It's not bad if a dog lives in a proper housing of a kennel, but my dogs will never, ever, and nothing I ever produce will ever wind up living in a kennel situation. they're going to live in houses. They're going to be spoiled, and they're going to be up on people's beds and in their lives and on vacation with them. But that's me. So that's where my dogs are. Now, what happens after my dog has one or two litters and it's a grand champion that I've put probably $30,000, $40,000 into? Guess what? It's still my dog. It stays with me forever because I have a responsibility once I acknowledge that I have a dog and I say, yes, I want this dog and I'm going to keep it. And any dog I have who's ever had a litter, I will not let them go. They are my dog. I have a responsibility to them because I'm not looking to make money. Is it okay to make money? Yes. Money, you know, unfortunately in this world we need it, even though I have a nonprofit. Yes. Veterinarians want to get paid and people who work for me want to get paid. So yes, it's okay to make money, but it is not okay to breed a female on every heat cycle, to keep her and have 10 or 12 litters in her lifetime, so she's so debilitated because she's had litter after litter after litter after litter after litter, and now because of that, the dog is debilitated, and now it ends up dumped in a rescuer shelter or on the street because it can no longer produce income for somebody who calls himself a breeder. No, you're not a breeder. You're a puppy mill. You need to be shut down. The reason you breed a dog is to better the breed, to make it healthier, to make it live longer, not to make money. Sorry about that. Anybody who disagrees, you're more than welcome to email us at the station or email me personally. But that's how I feel. So I promise not to rant and rail the next segment, but please come right back. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. It is wonderful to always be able to reach with all of my wonderful people who are listening and all the people at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids with our SD2 and D3 programs, with our cancer detection and disease detection. Also, I did have quite a few people inquiring about our newest class for NCBR, Natural Canine Behavior Rehabilitation. We already have, I believe, 15 people. We may be able to put one or two more people in, but we usually cap it at 15 or 16. So there were a few people who I'm sure that are listening who are, who have been approved. So I'll get in touch with all of you before, hopefully before the new year, which is tomorrow night. And so you'll be able to join in our next class. But if you or somebody you know might be interested in learning about natural canine behavior rehabilitation, actually learning how to do what I'm teaching you on, you know, a really permanent, big-name basis where you can become a canine behaviorist and really learn from pros, learn from people who have asked those questions and who've made those mistakes and understand what to do. Not somebody who's grandstanding and showboating and, oh, let me see if I have some O-positive blood. You know, we're not looking to get bitten. If we get bitten, we get bitten. But the goal is that we never want to set the dog up for failure. And I've seen this with people through the years, especially some of the people, and it's usually, sorry guys, but it's usually you guys, and you get this stupid idea in your head that you're going to go become a dog trainer, and you have no experience, and you don't even learn from somebody who might have experience, and you go online, and you go find some course, you read a few books, take an online open book no time limit test. And amazing, you passed. Wow. And you paid $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $20,000 for that. It means nothing because you have to learn from a behavioral professional. If you want to be a behaviorist, you really want to learn dog behavior, you're going to learn from dogs. You're going to learn from humans who know dogs and humans who've studied dogs, not from a book that somebody else read or wrote. Now, I wrote books. I've written a lot of books. I've written probably 20 books to this at this point. But my books are from my observation and from learning and from experience with thousands on thousands of horses and thousands and thousands and thousands of dogs and thousands of rabbits and hundreds of cats and thousands of every other animal out there, and from books and from Columbia University and from experts like my good dear friend who I love more than anything in the world, Dr. Temple Grandin, and associating with people who are veterinarians, people who I train who are becoming veterinarians or who are veterinarians and who still have an open mind because they understand that they don't know what they don't know. So if you look at a book and you start reading it and the first five chapters are about the author, well, you know what? That's an ego book. All right, couple of pages, couple of paragraphs, fine. But you'll see that a lot of books are written about the author. And the way I look at it is, do you really care who writes the book, or do you really care what's in the book? So I don't have an ego. I don't need to see my name in print. That's why it's called Shh Happens, Canine Behavior 101, because it's not about me. It's about the dogs. It's about the animals. It's about understanding how your behavior and your energy can affect your dog. If you think that your dog is going to read a book and understand what you're teaching him, guess what? He's not going to. He's a dog or she's a dog. But the key is here making sure that people understand that when you have a dog with a behavioral issue, that's a special needs kind of a dog. That requires a book. That requires a behaviorist. Now, we work with, and we also have, a number of our people started as obedience trainers. There is nothing wrong with obedience. I've heard people slashing and crashing and bashing different types of training. Now, the only thing I will ever crash or smash or blast is anything that hurts a dog, any kind of a shock collar, any kind of a thing they're squirting or scaring a dog and evoking fear in a dog. That I have a big problem with. But if you're using cookies as rewards or you're using praise as rewards and you're getting the desired results, then it's fine. You don't all have to be doing the same thing. I don't want people to call me and say, "Hi, Janice. Can you come to my house? I got the best golden retriever puppy in the world. He's just perfect. He does nothing wrong. Can you come visit?" I don't want to go to that house. I mean, I might like to visit there, but I don't need to go there because that dog can be helped by other methods. So that's great. If it helps, if somebody can help a dog without harming it, I'm all for it. But United Canine Professionals, which is 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, pros, 855-4 Canine Pros, and merlinskids.org. What we do is, you can call 855, "Hi, Wyatt." What we do is we do behavior. We only do behavior. That doesn't mean that I won't take a puppy on who's a young puppy, because if it's a puppy in a home, then the people are already having problems after a few days. Yeah, that puppy might have a behavioral issue, so of course I'm going to help. Of course, one of our certified specialist experts or masters in natural canine behavior rehabilitation will come and help you personally. Does it cost money? Of course it does. But I'd rather you get one of our behavioral experts than to go have somebody who's going to try and give it a shot. And the problem is also when you ask people, and you're hiring somebody, regardless of what it is, whether it's canine behavior, whether it's obedience or agility or lure coursing or sheep herding or whatever it is, or building a house, check people's backgrounds, for goodness sake. Check people, make sure they don't have a criminal past, they haven't been in prison, they don't have any kind of crazy pedophile charges, they don't have other things going on in their background, because it's important. You want to make sure that that person is of the highest standing. And when people hide things, then that's when I start getting nervous. So we do at United Canine Professionals, and of course at Merlin's Kids, we run criminal background checks. So we know that the person that's going to be coming to your home is of the highest quality, the highest training, and the highest caliber. And our people are also bonded and licensed. They're certified by United Canine Professionals as natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialists, so you can trust us. We will never go in with using gadgets. We don't believe in that because dogs in the wild do not have opposable thumbs. And the last time I've looked and I've checked Wyatt and Whispa and all my dogs, I've noticed I haven't seen any of them with an opposable thumb. They used to have dew claws. Those are gone. But they do not have the ability to hold a clicker or to use a shock collar or to throw things at each other or any of these crazy things, squirting each other in the face with citronella. I mean, that's crazy. How do you expect to have your dog trust you and build any kind of a connection with your dog if you're treating him like that? And why would he trust you? So, again, it's not just about the person and making sure the person is of high caliber and is, you know, doesn't have some kind of crazy criminal background, but it's also making sure that what they're telling you makes sense. Ask about them, Google them, and I tell people this all the time. If you want to have me come to your house, before you even call me, Google me. You will find 70, 80 pages. Not anything I've ever sought out. I don't seek that out. But you know what? Good news travels fast, and when people have problems with dogs and they call me, they refer me. I get more referrals. I probably get 15 to 20 a day, people wanting me to come to their homes. Well, not everybody needs me to come to their homes. A lot of you will be helped by the book, Shh Happens, on Amazon, and it's going to be on Kobo, and it's going to be on Nook, and a whole bunch of other places. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, as well as a little bit more about what you can do with your holiday pup to make sure he turns out to be the best dog in the world. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And what we're talking about, and before I continue on, I have to do a great shout out to a bunch of amazing people, and I know I'm going to miss probably 50 of them, but I'm going to give a quick shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph, to Caitlin, to Cassie, to Dawn, to Jody, to the other Jody, to Kathleen, to the lady who looks like Kathy Lee but isn't, Barbara, to the other Barbara, to Casey, to Laura, to Dia, to Olivia, to Kristen, to David, oh my Lord, to Luis, to Gary, to Radislav, to Beata. Let me keep going, guys. Oh, my Lord, I'm going to miss everybody. To Jen, to the other Jen, and to pretty much everybody who is going to be upset now because I missed all their names, but we have some incredible people on our team at United Canine Professionals, and it is just so, so important that everybody understands how much I truly appreciate all of you and how much I appreciate everything you do every day and how your passion, like Janae, who's wonderful, who helps take care of, and Karen, and take care of not only their own dogs but my dogs and help me every day with different kind of things that I might need help with. Now, one of the things that we did, we've got a new place going up in Texas. Yay! We've got a place in Texas and a place in Missouri in the same year. Awesome. Beautiful. You all know about the Missouri facility. Well, now we have a beautiful place that we're building in Texas. We've also got a partner on our new facility in New Jersey. Yes, we do have a facility now, but we're trying to expand it. It was only 6.5 acres, and it's great, but it doesn't have enough room for us to do all the things we need. So we are building a new facility, very, very exciting, on a much more land. So things are going really great here. It really has been a banner year. I only really have a few things that happened this year that were horrible, and that was the very recent passing of my cousin Paul. And my beautiful cousin Anita, who's his wife, is I just want her to know, if she's listening tonight, that I have thought of you constantly and I adore you. Thank you for letting me be your flower girl, and that we're going to do wonderful things for Colin and Paul. And I am so grateful to have you in my life. I believe at this time of year it is so important to remember those people who maybe aren't continuing on to next year with us. My great uncle Julian, who won the lottery a number of times, including the grand prize several times. He just passed away last week at the age of 97, and he was just an amazing man, and I adored him. And it's going to be kind of strange not going down there and visiting him anymore, but I know he will be in my heart forever. And those of you who have lost a loved one, lost a pet, and it's kind of tough for you, sometimes it's really not a great idea to go heart first into a dog. And I talk about this in my new book, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens. It's really about making sure that your energy is at a good point so that your energy won't affect negatively your new dog or puppy's behaviors. Think about it. When you're low, and this is one of those things that happens at Christmas time, we're all happy, we're excited, and we bring our new rescue dog, and we have like 30 people for Christmas, and everyone sticks their face into the dog's face or blows into the dog's nose, which is the dumbest thing ever. Please, dear God, don't do that, people. So now the dog bites somebody. Oh, day after Christmas, he's back in the shelter because people were stupid. I can't fix stupid. You know that Ron White can't fix stupid, and neither can I fix stupid. It's just ridiculous. So when you first get a new dog, and make sure that it's at least several months that you're, I mean, it's hard to heal from losing a pet or a loved one, but try to heal as best you can and feel that it's the right time before you go and get another one, because I've seen it too many times where it just was a dog that, you know, wasn't really the right dog, or would have been a great dog if people had waited a few months. So hopefully I have some more Rhodesian Ridgeback puppies, and hopefully I'll have some puppies having puppies. My Wispa hopefully is going to have puppies. Now, if I meet people and I feel that they're good candidates for a dog, but if they've recently lost a loved one or another pet, I don't just give them another puppy, because their energy is going to be very weakened. And a dog is going to come into it, and this goes back to what we talked about at the top of the hour with the honeymoon period. The honeymoon period can be long or short depending on the energy of the family. So if the energy of the family is low because you just lost your dog at Thanksgiving and you already have a new one by Christmas, if your energy is weak, the puppy is going to see your energy as being weak. And dogs will think of weak energy as being unstable and not the leader's energy, not an energy they want to follow or that they can trust to follow. So that energy will be perceived as a weakness, and dogs will not follow weak energy or an unstable or weak leader. Now, people will do that, but dogs will not. So it's very important to make sure you're at the right point in your grieving process. If you're still crying pretty much every day because of your dog that you lost, then you're not ready for another dog. I understand it's empty in your house. I understand it feels terrible to lose an animal. It's the worst thing in the world other than probably losing a child. But it is horrible. The problem is that if your energy is low and weak, then the dog has no choice but to step up to the plate and to be the strong one. And perhaps even, at some point, to take over as your leader. And now the dog is going to possibly be controlling you and other family members and telling you where to go, what to do, and how to go. Well, that's not good. So make sure that you're ready for a new dog. As a breeder, I will never, ever sell a dog to anybody during the holidays. I won't even breed a litter that's ready within a couple of weeks before or after the holidays, especially Christmas, because my dogs are not for sale for Christmas presents. They are new family members who deserve to have your undivided attention and love, and they are not a little Christmas puppy who everyone's going to lose interest in. So what we want to make sure is that you're giving yourself enough time to heal, and you're giving the dog enough time to heal, and not only to heal, but to acclimate and to look at you as a strong, calm, confident leader. And the dog will then not develop any behavioral issues because you haven't allowed it to have behavioral issues, because your energy was good and calm and confident and positive, and just you're in control. And if you're in control and you're confident and happy, then you don't have to worry about anything else happening. The key is, again, making sure that you have the right energy and that your dog and you have the energy and the symbiosis and the understanding between each other that, hey, I'm in charge, I'm the human, I've got your back, buddy. And this way you won't have that problem. Well, what happens if you do have problems? Well, that's where the book comes in handy. The book only took me a few weeks to write, but of course it took a lot longer to edit. But it's got some incredible things in it, and it's going to be very helpful to you as a reference book. It's really kind of like set up as a reference guide where you can read one chapter independently of the others, but you really want to read the whole thing. So it's kind of like the recipe for, you know, in a cookbook. You have to follow it. You can't just pick one thing or another. But once you read it in its entirety, and now you know where everything is, you can always go back and refer back to something else. And yes, it will be available in paperback. It might even be available today in paperback, but I remember the book just came out a few weeks ago, actually about 2 weeks ago. So the physical copies will take a little longer to come out than the electronic copies. Now, for those of you who have contacted me in the past and very recent past, hopefully if you are able to, be able to get a copy of the book. If you have questions or comments or concerns, and if you still need help, then call our 800 number, 855-4, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS. If you can't remember that one, then just call the 855-HI-WYATT, which is HI, W-Y-A-T-T, and we will make sure to get you some help. We have people, our certified specialists, in 38 states right now. We cover 38 states and 10 different countries, and it's very exciting for us to be able to have all these people in all these different locations who have learned how to do my techniques and how to rehabilitate dogs with behavioral issues. Also, the therapeutic facilitation and behavioral intervention in schools. So if you have a doctorate, or if you have a master's, or you have any degree in teaching, and you're a teacher or occupational speech or physical therapist or social worker, we have a program. We can teach you how to use dogs in a therapeutic setting. So please let us know how we can help you. Well, again, I can't believe it, but time is up, and we hope that you'll have a wonderful, healthy, happy new year. Enjoy reading my new book, Happens, S-H-H-H, Happens, by Janice Wolfe. And we will talk to you next year. Have a wonderful holiday. Be safe. Drive carefully. God bless.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.